Bible says that a happy person finds wisdom and gets understanding. But it warns us that wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. Elizabeth Elliot has spent decades helping women understand the wisdom of the Bible. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Be challenged to live wisely as you hear once again from your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, concluding today my talk called A Sermon to Myself, an idea that I got from a George MacDonald novel called Annals of a Quiet Neighborhood. Every time I prepare my programs, I ask the Lord to preach to me, never to allow me to pour out to you truth which I have not taken to heart. In MacDonald's story, there's a single, unmarried mother, very, very bitter against the man who betrayed her, promised to marry her, etc. She has refused forgiveness. One wild night, the pastor stumbles across her, hears her cry, "Hast thou no help for me?" "God has, indeed," he says. "Has he not suffered in order that he might bring help? But you have not forgiven." "You will not leave me alone," she said. "It's too bad." "I will not leave you alone, Catherine," I said, feeling that I must at length assume another tone of speech with her who resisted gentleness. "Scorn my interference as you will," I said. "I have yet to give an account of you, and I have to fear lest my master should require your blood at my hands. I did not follow you here, you may well believe me, but I have found you here, and I must speak." All this time the wind was roaring overhead, but in the hollow was stillness, and I was so near her that I could hear every word she said, although she spoke in a low, compressed tone. "Have you a right to persecute me," she said, "because I am unhappy?" "I have a right, and more than a right, I have a duty, to aid your better self against your worse. You, I fear, are siding with your worse self." "You judge me hard. I have had wrongs that..." And here she stopped in a way that let me know she would say no more. "That you have had wrongs, and bitter wrongs, I do not for a moment doubt. And him who has done you most wrong, you will not forgive." "No. No. Not even for the sake of him who, hanging on the tree, after all the bitterness of blows and whipping and derision and rudest gestures and taunts, even when the faintness of death was upon him, cried to his father to forgive their cruelty. He asks you to forgive the man who wronged you, and you will not, not even for Christ. Oh, Catherine, Catherine." "It is very easy to talk, Mr. Walton," she returned with forced but cool scorn. "Tell me then," I said, "have you nothing to repent of? Have you done no wrong in this same miserable matter?" "I do not understand you, sir," she said freezingly, petulantly, not sure, perhaps, or unwilling to believe that I meant what I did mean. I was fully resolved to be plain with her now. "Catherine Weir," I said, "did not God give you a house to keep fair and pure for him? Did you keep it such?" "He told me lies," she cried fiercely, with a cry that seemed to pierce through the storm over our heads, up towards the everlasting justice. "He lied, and I trusted. For his sake I sinned, and he threw me from him." "You gave him what was not yours to give. What right had you to cast your pearl before a swine? But dare you say it was all for his sake you did it? Was it all self-denial? Was there no self-indulgence?" She made a broken gesture, lifting her hands to her head, let them drop by her side, and said nothing. "You knew you were doing wrong. You felt it even more than he did. For God made you with a more delicate sense of purity, with a shrinking from the temptation, with a womanly foreboding of disgrace, to help you to hold the cup of your honor steady, which yet you dropped on the ground. Do not seek refuge in the cant about a woman's weakness. The strength of the woman is as needful to her womanhood as the strength of the man is to his manhood. And a woman is just as strong as she wants to be. And now, instead of humbling yourself before your Father in heaven, whom you have wronged more even than your father on earth, you rage over your injuries and cherish hatred against him who wronged you. But I will go yet further and show you in God's name that you wronged your seducer. For you were his keeper, as he was yours. What if he had found a noble-hearted girl who also trusted him entirely, just until she knew she ought not to listen to him a moment longer? Who, when his love showed itself less than human, caring but for itself, rose in the royalty of her maidenhood and looked him in the face. Would he not have been ashamed before her, and so before himself, seeing in the glass of her dignity his own contemptibleness? But instead of such a woman, he found you, who let him do what he wanted. No redemption for him in you. And now he walks the earth the worse for you, defiled by your spoil, glorying in his poor victory over you, despising all women for your sake, unrepentant and proud, ruining others the easier that he has already ruined you. He does, she shrieked. But I will have my revenge. I can, and I will. And darting past me, she rushed out into the storm. Ah, poor sister, I thought. Was it for me thus to reproach thee who had suffered already so fiercely? If the Spirit speaking in thy heart could not win thee, how should my words of hard accusation, true though they were, every one of them, rouse in thee anything but the wrath that springs from shame? Should I not have tried again and yet again to waken thy love? And then a sweet and healing shame, like that of her who bathed the Master's feet with her tears, would have bred fresh love and no wrath. But again I answered for myself that my heart had not been the less tender towards her, that I had tried to humble her, for it was that she might slip from under the net of her pride. Even when my tongue spoke the hardest things I could find, my heart was yearning over her. If I could but make her feel that she too had been wrong, would not the sense of common wrong between them help her to forgive? And with the first motion of willing pardon, would not a spring of tenderness, grief, and hope burst from her poor old dried-up heart and make it young and fresh once more? Thus I reasoned with myself as I followed her back through the darkness. Is there someone listening to me today? Some woman who has been raped, perhaps, or treated in a far from gentlemanly manner? A woman who became pregnant out of wedlock? Perhaps someone who has had an abortion and who grieves daily over having killed that little child? Is there forgiveness in your heart for the man whom you have blamed? Is there forgiveness on the cross of Jesus Christ for you who did not oppose him with your pure maidenhood? If you had risen in royalty, as the Scottish preacher said, in the royalty of your maidenhood and looked him in the face, would he not have been ashamed before you? Could you not have said no? Only you and God know the answers. But I'm here to say that you are loved with an everlasting love. God loves you so much that he went to a cross for you. He bore your griefs and carried your sorrows. He asks you, will you trust me? Will you come to me? Will you receive my forgiveness? And of course, that forgiveness is available to anyone who will come. But it is totally beyond reach of those who refuse, of those who lug throughout life the baggage of bitterness and unforgiveness and anger and sorrow and pain. The words were true of the preacher, and I was thankful that there is a happy ending to this story. But I speak to you whom God is convicting right at this moment. The hymn, which is always used in Billy Graham's campaigns, says, "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to him whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve. Because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come."
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.